I had nothing to do with that. At all, zero, whatever. No, not, I wasn't even around when they recorded it. Matter of fact, I saw it just a couple of days ago, and I was like, this is either going to be really funny, like people are going to laugh, or they're going to be like, what? I don't understand. So please, I'm glad you liked it. So welcome to Life Church today. I'm Aaron Cole, the senior pastor. It's great to have you here today. And can we just take a moment and welcome all of our campuses, Appleton Campus, Brookfield Campus, Germantown Campus, Milwaukee Campus, online. Wherever you're connecting with us from, we're delighted and glad that you're here with us today. And if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, starting a brand new series today called Family Matters. I hope you'll be here for the entire series. I am preaching from now every single weekend all the way through Easter and then a little beyond that. And I have got what's... I don't have anything. People are going, are you sick? I'm not sick. I've got this drainage. I was in, I know that sounds really gross, doesn't it? But I was in Oklahoma City on Monday for meetings. So after service on Sunday, I hopped some flights, got to Oklahoma City, had meetings on Monday, flew back home Monday night. But the Bradford pears were in bloom and everything was in bloom. And all of a sudden, man, my allergies just went nuts. So this has been one of those weeks where I've had more speaking appointments, more speaking engagements, have had to use my voice. I had a group of senior pastors in on Thursday for a roundtable, was all day long, and I was just like, is this voice going to hold up? And so the voice is good, it's just I don't want to hack, you know? And it's not painful for me, but it's painful for me to look at you, if that makes sense. So you're just like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Are you sick? Are you dying? No, I mean, I at all. But anyhow, so... I got my hot tea, and I've gargled with my salt water, and I've got all my stuff, so I should be good. But if you hear something, I apologize ahead of time. Just want you to know that. And I before we jump into this, so I do want to say just a really big thank you. Way to go, Life Church. $80,000 in a persecuted church offering last weekend. That's amazing. That's amazing. And again, I know that a weekend like last weekend with Dick Brogdon is one of those very sobering kind of like, oh my goodness. And then to follow it up with this, the video intro you just saw, it's kind of an interesting deal. But I just want to say thank you for your generosity. And because every bit of that went and is going and is gone and then some. And so I just want to just wow. I hope you know how much Tammy and I love you and how much and how honored we are to pastor here and how grateful we are for you, how grateful we are for the opportunity to be able to be in Wisconsin and to see what God is doing. And I just, again, weekends like last weekend are just those times where you're just going, man, people are so generous, so kind, and just want to say thank you. Okay, I'm going to get into today's message in this new series, and we're going to talk about family, obviously, right? Family matters, but family's a gift, we know that, but it can also be complicated and messy. I like to say sometimes that family is funky, it's just the way it is, and we're going to talk about various aspects to family and marriage and what happens when your kids don't serve God. We're going to talk about that in this series. What do you do as parents? What do you do? And what I would say is the things we're talking about today and in every one of these messages are very applicable to wherever you are. If you're a single adult today, this message is really going to help you with it. There's nothing that's just like, you know, like, why did I come to church? Because, again, you have to remember family, husband and wife, man and woman, coming together as one, two becomes one flesh. God joins them together. Let God puts together, let no man put asunder. You may now kiss the bride. Remember that part? So that is a reflection of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the reflection of God on this earth is not the church originally, it's family. It's you. It's how you live your life. It's how you love your spouse. It's how you raise your kids. That's why family's so important. And marriage and family predates the fall of man. So this is a sacred thing that God gives us, and it's a reflection of who we are on this earth. Now, you and I are the bride of Christ. That's what the church is called, and we reflect who Jesus is through us. But that unity, that the Trinitarian theology that we believe and that most evangelical churches believe and the Catholic Church believes, it's one of those anchor tenets that we have, doctrines, that it's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one. This is a reflection in the family. So forming the family and leading the family becomes incredibly important. So today I just want to talk to you as for me and my house. This is a passage that if you've read the Bible at all or you've heard any of it, you probably have heard today's passage. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Joshua is, he's basically speaking to Israel as a nation and basically telling them to get their house in order. And he says this in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river, talking about the River Jordan, so this is in the desert, and in Egypt when they were in captivity, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father that you served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What's happening is that Israel and the nation of Israel, they're a monotheistic people, meaning that they believe in one true God. But as with any group of people, time, things kind of fall away from their passion for the Lord. And so they allow these other gods to kind of come in and these other things to kind of come in and all this stuff. And before they've got these, because all the people around them and the land that they're dwelling in, they all have these different customs. And so they began to become more about the customs of the land they're in, of Egypt or in the desert or even in the land of the Amorites, as he refers to there. They're more about that, and they take that in. They take the world in instead of doing it God's way, the way the Mosaic law, the way the Old Testament, the way the Levitical law, the way God spoke to the nation of Israel, however you want to say it, and prescribed for them to do. And so he starts with this, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because here's the deal is, even if you're single, even if you're a kid, even if you're married or if you're an empty nester, leading your house starts with you. So don't think about family as in, well, I got to wait till I get married before I do this, or I got to wait till I graduate high school or college or master's degree. Amen, mom and dad. Like, get on down the road a little bit. Let your prefrontal cortex form your brain, kids. So anyhow, before you make that decision, I can start right now if I'm in high school. I can start right now if I'm in junior high. I can start right now if I'm a single adult. Or if I'm in the throes of marriage and family, I can develop and do that. So just a couple of thoughts. First of all, seek first the one who matters most. Seek first the one who matters most. And again, you're talking about leading you first. Before you can lead others, you have to first lead yourself. Again, God has brought the people out of slavery into the promised land. Joshua was a leader of Israel, and in his old age, he's giving this charge. It's his kind of a farewell speech. He's kind of reminding the people, hey, don't forget, this is about God and about following him. Back in verse 14, those first few words, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. Because what they were doing is they were serving God with lip service in a lot of ways. But they had brought in all these other gods, all these other things, they'd picked up all these other customs from all the other countries and all the other places that they had been, and they just kind of amalgamated those in. And that's easy to do, because what you do is go, well, you know, this is how we do this here. And you kind of cancel scripture out. Well, this is just the way I was raised. I'm sure it's okay. And you kind of cancel scripture out. Or this is how I see it today. I kind of cancel scripture out. One of the things that's very interesting to me, even in theological circles, is for people to talk about a rewriting of the Bible. Like, I remember having a conversation in my doctoral studies, and I just made a statement. They were talking about, you know, hey, you know, today, I mean, maybe God is a little bit more open and a little bit more, maybe the interpretation of scripture is more liberal. Maybe there's, you know, not necessarily other roads that lead to God, but maybe God is not quite as, and maybe gender identities, maybe there's some more fluidity there. They were very much going down this pathway. And in the process of all of that, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is not what this, you know, I mean, again, you're talking about a bunch of theologians and scholars, and they're all, you can overcook the eggs, amen? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're just way thinking too hard. It's right there. And maybe it's not just the classical view of marriage of a man and a woman. And I'm like, no, it's pretty much Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, you know. And Jesus is silent on this issue, therefore maybe it's okay. Well, Jesus didn't talk about, you know, some other things either of the Ten Commandments, but it's still there. Like, he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And he would have been blasphemous if he would have even been speaking what you're saying. And so it's almost like we have this, we're enlightened. Like, the disciples, first century church, didn't really have what we have. And 500 years ago, Martin Luther, when he put the thesis on the door, and the Protestant Reformation began, he really didn't have quite the revelation that we have. We're more enlightened. And I actually said that out loud. Like we know something they don't know. No, it's real simple. It's right there. And if we're not careful, we can all do this. We can all allow the world to kind of come in and begin to change our views. And all of a sudden, we're serving Jesus and dot, dot, dot. We're going to church on Sunday, but we're doing this on Monday and dot, dot, dot. We're doing this over here, but we're, because idols in our lives are not obviously evil. Sometimes they're very, it's idols can be anything that is good that turns into God things. And then they become these bad things. Again, activities, passions, things you enjoy doing. If you're not careful, that trumps the Lord. So sports, and I'm going to go to church, but man, if this is happening while I've got church time, sorry, church is going to take the back seat. You might want to check yourself or you rickety, rickety, wreck yourself. I'm just saying, like, you might just think about that. Or I'm going to do this, but and this. Or I know the Bible says, but. I know, you see what I'm saying? It's all of this. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says it very simply. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. First. Seek God first. If you love the Lord and you walk upright before him and you love your families, you love yourself, life and family will not always be easy, but they will work. But you cannot expect your family to follow God with a wholeheartedness if you don't. You can't expect your kids to follow the Lord and put him first if he's not number one in your life. You cannot, he's got to be one for you. It's got to be the way you live before anything else. That's the reason why I'm saying to you, whether you're 16, 26, 36, or 65, or 86, or 106, it doesn't matter. If you're not putting God first, the people in your family are not going to follow suit at all. So you got to ask yourself, where is God in my life? Am I allowing idols to come in? Am I allowing things to come in? Am I allowing issues or circumstances? Am I allowing culture to come in and change and shape the way I think? Or am I going back to God's word? Am I leaning so heavily on God's word that if it were to move, I would fall? Second, when you talk about this issue of choose you this day whom you will serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's about developing godly character. Developing godly character. Go back to verse 14. It says, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Different translations, the NASB says, in sincerity and truth. The Good Word says, with integrity and faithfulness. The New English Translation says, with integrity and loyalty. It's about serving God with character. What's character? So glad you asked that question. You're so smart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is inside of you, when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, we know, John 15, that when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and come into our life and be our Lord and our Savior, that we are filled with the Spirit of God, that the work of salvation that Jesus Christ paid for on Calvary's cross is sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is inside of us. When he is inside of us, we should produce fruit in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These should be things that should be characteristics of who you and I are. Would someone describe you as being a loving person, a joyful person, a peaceful person, a patient person? Let's go real fast on that one. A kind person, a good person, a faithful person, a gentle individual. Someone who is self-disciplined, who has self-control. He says, man, you've got to serve God with sincerity and in faithfulness. You've got to develop godly character. What's interesting to me about this is that Godly character is not something you're going to get prayed for and get zapped with, right? I mean, we all love, I'm sorry, I keep messing with my mic cord because it just keeps going down my back, and so we're having a fight right now. It's kind of like indigestion, you know what I'm talking about? Like you shouldn't have had those wings last night, but you did, and you wake up, you know, that commercial where you're like fighting with it, that's kind of what it feels like right now. All right, it's like a five-legged ninja, man. It just keeps going, whoa. Okay. I don't typically say anything. I typically try to be really smooth about it, but like that's the third time I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is going on? Okay. I don't want you to go, man, has he got some patch on his neck? He's scratching? Like, what's going on? No. Sorry. It's like squirrel, right? You know what I'm saying? So this is what it is. Let's go back to godly character. Godly character is not something that you're just going to get zapped with. Godly character is not something that's just going to happen because you go to church. Godly character is not just going to be something that your family's going to happen just because you're sitting here. Godly character is something you have to develop. The Spirit of God that's inside of you is there. So you have the potential to be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and have self-control. But you have to develop and work that soil. It's kind of like a farmer. He's got ground. God's going to give the rain, and he's got the seed. But at the end of the day, that farmer's got to take that seed. He's got to plow that ground. He's got to plant that seed, and then he's got to make sure that that's irrigated properly, that things are done, and at the right time, he has to harvest it. That's what you and I have to do with character in our life. It's not automatic. It doesn't come just because you pray or because you read your two chapters of SOAP, your scripture, observation, application, and prayer every day. But you have to develop that and grow that, because the truth of the matter is you cannot teach what you do not have. You cannot give someone what you do not possess. And you cannot lead where you have not gone, and you cannot reproduce who you are not, because you will reproduce in your family, in your life, and the people that follow you who you are. That's a scary thought. Every parent should be like, whoa. You got an anger problem? Guess what? Your kids are probably going to have that. Don't speak that over my kids. I'm not speaking it over your kids. I'm saying they're going to see that in you. They're going to see that in your life. Well, I'm not perfect. None of us are. I'll never forget talking to a clinical therapist one time, and I was talking about something that I had done parenting, and I just said, do you think I did damage? And he said, yes, probably, but it's okay. Kids are resilient. We all make mistakes. There are no perfect parents, right? And if you think, well, I'm pretty perfect, you're really messed up. Like, I don't even want to know who your kids are. Amen? But as much as it depends upon you, as much as you strive in what you do, you're going to pass on not what you tell your kids, but how you live your life. How you do, what you, it's that fruit that's in your life. And there's the reality. If the root of the tree is rotten, then the fruit, it may still produce the fruit, but the fruit is not going to taste good, and eventually the tree will rot and die. And a wind or a storm will come through and take the tree out. You've seen somebody, they were serving God, and you thought they were good, and all of a sudden something happened, and it wiped them out, and they just completely collapsed. It's because the root system wasn't developed. It's because it looked healthy on the outside, but it was diseased on the inside. And the only person that controls that on the inside is you. That family looks good on the outside. Everything looks great on the outside, but on the inside, it's diseased. I remember growing up at church, there was a family in the church. Loved these people, still love these people, know them. But they looked like everybody wanted to be them. I mean, they dressed right. It's like the dad was a business owner. It was just perfect. There was a daughter and a son, and just they were good, just good athletes, good academically, good, but just great family. And everybody looked at them, and they were just, but what happened about, so many years in, when the kids started getting into junior high and high school, dad, all of a sudden, all the junk and the disrepair between mom and dad became apparent, and the family fell apart, and they wound up divorcing, and everybody was like, I can't believe this. Just because you look good on Sunday morning doesn't mean you are good. Somebody tweet that out. Just because you check all the boxes doesn't mean everything's okay. It's about character. This is what I'm saying. This message is not about just if you're married, if you're single, because here's the deal, is you're going to attract whom what you are. It's just the truth of the matter. If you're a person of character, you're going to attract someone of character. If you're a person of lacking character, lacking judgment, you're probably going to attract that kind of individual, because people of high character don't want to be around people of low character. People that are winners don't want to be around losers. It's just the way it is. And you go, that's just harsh. No, that's just reality. And this is what he's saying here is, hey, you have to choose to serve God with sincerity and with faithfulness. See, whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. This is the truth of leadership. If I want people to be here, I as a leader have to be here. They are never going to be at my level and if they pass me, if they're at my level, they pass me, they're going to go work for someone else. Because at the end of the day, they want to lead, they want to follow, they want to be under someone that's kind of leading the pace. Pace of the team is determined by the pace of the leader. And if your children replicate your life and your choices, would you be pleased with that? All of it. The things that you don't know that they know about you. The things that you don't know anybody knows about you. If your children replicated your life, would you be pleased with that? How you conduct yourself when you're not around them. How you conduct yourself when you're away from them. How you conduct yourself when you're with them. How you conduct yourself in front of people and behind the scenes. If not, what needs to change? See, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, for your spouse, and for your kids is be a person of consistent character. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Last thing is leave a lasting legacy. Leave a lasting legacy. Go to verse 15. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Legacy is not something for people. It's leaving something in people. Legacy is not about leaving something for people. This isn't inheritance, money, whatever that they're going to burn through. It's about leaving something in people. At some point in life, you have to choose, what is my life going to be about and what kind of legacy am I going to leave? Real simple. And the best time to begin planning your legacy is before you ever have children. The second best time is now. Think about it. What do you want your family to say about you when you're gone? I had a conversation with my youngest last week. I kind of shared this at the men's retreat. And this is not about me. But it was a serious conversation. And I asked her because my oldest, Anna's very sweet and very kind. If Anna doesn't like you, you'll never know it. So if you go, oh, Anna loves me. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I don't know. Only Anna knows that. It's kind of like the Lord. Only the Lord knows some things, right? Ava is totally different. Ava is wired like I am. Anna's a lot like her mother. My friends say I have like a ticker tape on my forehead. Like if I don't like you or something, it's very obvious. Like I don't have a good poker face. And they say, my girls say I could be a good judge. Like I just have this furrowed brow and this really... There's an acronym that they use for some type of a resting face that I have that I can't say, but you know what I'm saying, like, right? We're all on the same page. So my youngest is she's my candid one. She's just like cut right to it. And so we're driving along and I'm talking and I'd heard a podcast that was talking about character and that kind of a deal. And there were several things that were kind of feeding into this. And I said to her, I said, I want you to be honest. Don't worry, Dad, I will. Which I know, but I just. And I said, this isn't a trick question. And I'm not going to argue or debate you on this. So whatever you say is right. And when I said that, she got her attention. Because typically she and I, we debate each other. Not Anna. Anna lets me think I'm going to win, but I don't really win with her. She's going to do what she's going to do. And I said, do you think I'm the same guy at Life Church in front of people as I am at home when no one else is around? Just when it's just you and sis and mom, it's just family, like it's just us. Would you say I'm the same guy or would you say I'm different? And she was just like, no, Dad, you're the same person. You use a couple words at home you don't use on the platform at Life Church, but that's about it. But you're the same guy. Why? I said, I just want to know. I said, it's important to me. Because I strive, I'm not perfect. Man, Lord knows I'm not perfect. But I strive in everything I can to just be honest as I can be, and walk with as much integrity. And I got issues like everybody else. And I've got junk in my life that I battle. I've got things in my life that I wouldn't want to be on the big screen. But I try to be the same guy at dinner on Tuesday night at home as I am second service at Germantown on Sunday morning. See, for me, that's the house I was raised in. My folks, not perfect, they're the same people. My dad's the same guy. You like him, don't like him, whatever. He's the same guy. That's legacy. Because there'll be a day that I'll be dead and gone. Should the Lord tarry his coming and everything be natural. But my kids, what I leave in them, that's legacy. The character, that's legacy. Even my imperfections, when I've owned them. And I've had to do that with both girls. I'm sorry, I should not have said that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Even when they see their mom and I disagreeing, and it's healthy because it's life, it's relationships. It's very much and how we interact with each other and how we interact with family and what we do. That's legacy. That's leaving that. But see, that didn't start when Tammy and I got married. That started in Tammy's life and the home that she grew up in. That started in the decisions that she made when she was in high school to serve the Lord, and decisions that she made to follow the will of God for her life, and the decisions that she made every day since. The same way with me, it didn't start when I became a pastor at Life Church. It started years before, when I was a kid growing up at church. And I'm watching my old man, and I'm watching how he's dealing with life, and I'm putting things together, and I'm seeing duplicities in people, and I'm watching what's happening. And I could tell the people that walked with character and with integrity, that the people that lived it out, that the people that really served the Lord with a whole heart, they weren't perfect people, but they had this devotion to God. They had this, they allowed the grace of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. And as they've lived their life, they leave a legacy. See, the essence is, if you love the Lord and if you live right, excuse me. If you love the Lord and if you live right and if you love your family, you and your family is going to be blessed, and they're going to live for God. And so you have to ask yourself questions. Am I serving God faithfully with my whole heart? Are there idols in my life that are keeping me from serving the Lord fully? Do I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And what kind of legacy am I leaving? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. And I just thank you today, God, that we have choices that we can make, that we are not a perfect people, and you understand that, but yet you still call us. We're not perfect, yet you still bring us together with a helpmate to do life. We're not perfect, yet you still give us children and you trust us with the next generation. So I just pray, help us to take this moment right now just to check our own hearts. Because before it begins with leading other people, it begins with leading us. And I just pray that you would help us to search our own hearts. Is there a lack of integrity in our lives? Let us confess that before you, that sin before you, and help us to go and make changes and live differently. It's not about our spouse today. It's not about our kids today. It's about us. Because if we live right before you, it'll all come together. It may take some time, but it will all come together. But help us, Lord, these next few moments, as the band comes and as the musicians and the singers lead us. Help us just to search our own hearts. If there's things we need to adjust, help us to adjust those things. If there's things that we need to just be grateful for, let us, Lord, give you thanks and gratitude this morning. But God, help us today to live for you, to be just like Joshua and say, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.